Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The waiting has come to an end.
Lampard comes out to Essien.
Oh my goodness.
It's a counter-attack. It's to be a dropper. And now get down the middle. Dropper goes.
Hello and welcome everybody to Chelsea Hour. If you didn't already listen to last week's episode, we went through the first half of rankings for Chelsea teams as almost like a little quarter season review. So this is the second part and we're going to get straight into it. The last person that we evaluated was Havertz. And so yeah, go check out the old episode if you haven't listened to it. But yeah, back to the show.
It's coming towards seven. So the next person up, this one's a little bit of a shocker, you know. The next person up is Hudson-Odoi at 6.7. So yeah, this is really high, I think. I think if you was to ask most people, they would probably thought he would have been lower. For someone that's got 6.7 rating, he hasn't really had that many starts. So yeah, what's your thoughts on Hudson's current situation? I know the fan base kind of goes into meltdown when he's not brought on or when he doesn't start, when there's, you know, there's no wing options. So, yeah, it's been a mixed season for him, but it seems like when he's played, he's done well. I know, like, when you think about it, when he's come on or when he started games, he's actually made the difference. So, yeah, what's your thoughts on Hudson-Odoi? We'll start with Shemi.
I think all the games he started this season, he's done fairly well. So, Crystal Palace, Tottenham, Krasnodar. When he's come on, understandably, he struggled to make an impact because obviously
West Brom he did, didn't he?
Apart from West Brom, yeah. But when Lampard's giving him these 15-minute cameos, it's just not nice. West Brom, he came on, he got 45 minutes. Do you get me? Exactly. But when Lampard's giving these 15-minute, 10-minute cameos, he's struggling to make an impact. Overall, I think he's been good, but he could give us so much more if he was given consistency running the team and momentum to build on. So, yeah.
Just before we move on to the next panelist, again, if they haven't played more than 22 minutes in the game, it doesn't count to the rating. So, yeah, all of those cameos don't really count, which is one of the reasons why. I just kind of...
That 2 minutes of VR cameo.
Yeah, that doesn't get... So, like, this kind of hopefully shows us who's been doing well when they've been given enough of a platform.
Okay, that's cool then. He's been good then.
Yeah. That. Timpson, what's your thoughts?
Callum. I feel for him. In the long and short, when he's come on, he's looked bright and he's looked okay when he's not looked particularly bright. Mm-hmm. But because of the contract, everything that's gone on outside of the off the field, I just feel like everything he does is amplified. And he's had a decent season for the minutes that he's played. Mm-hmm. And he's improved a lot of the shortcomings that he was criticized for last season in terms of his off the ball.
Off the ball. And going forward and backwards.
Yeah, so ultimately, I just want to see him play, whether that's at Chelsea or elsewhere at this point in time. That's just my general opinion as a Callum fan.
So you're hinting that alone, you want him out?
Yeah, I feel like that's best for all parties at this point in time. Either they miss him when they realise that Pulisic is made out of breadsticks.
No, he's right. They need to learn the hard way. Lampard needs to learn the hard way, bruv.
Wait.
All right, Babs, take it away.
Man, like, I don't know. Like, this Callum's been my guy in it, but my problem at the moment is, and there's no fault of his own. You can tell that he's a player lacking confidence, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, when a player lacks confidence, the first thing I've got to look at is the manager. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing to instill their confidence? Are you giving them the cameos where they're going to come on for that good half an hour, 40 minutes to actually go on at a team like he did against West Brom? Or are you giving them the cameos where he's coming off for like 1 minute like he did against Sevilla, 15 minutes like he did against Rennes and Burnley? And I just feel like that kind of like inconsistency, we're not going to get anything out of him, you know, doing that. And I feel like he's a player with so much talent, like anybody can see it. I remember that West Brom game. Like, I remember people were literally like, you know what, we can't even carry on this Callum Hudson-Odoi, you know, agenda. He's not that good, because obviously the boy is talent. Like, the boy is the definition of talent. Like, if I told you 3 years ago, you know, when Sancho and him were emerging, that one of these guys are going to be like the one of the best wingers, the one I was going to be like barely getting minutes, like, you would have looked at me like, wait, what? But these two are players that are on the same level, and obviously injury aside, innit? But I just feel like he needs to. I don't know. Obviously, I don't want to go on because I think he needs to go.
He just needs to be backed. I don't think he's lacking confidence, by the way.
Do you know why I say he does? One of the best examples for me was that Crystal Palace game. Like, he played all right, yeah. He played all right. He didn't play amazing, but there was this moment where he you could kind of see it in him, like something sparked. And he said, I'm going to go out the fullback.
We touched
and
on that.
But he took on Mitchell and he absolutely rinsed him. And it was like, kind of like, you could do this. Like, if he did this for 90 minutes, there's no way he's going to stop you. Like, so I just know what you can do.
Just quickly, yeah, we touched on that pod, the pod when we reviewed the Crystal Palace game. I think Palumi broke it down really well. Yeah. I think what it was is that obviously the way Palace set up, Callum is a very, like, he's a very, in terms of his decision making, he's quite careful and quite, he looks after the ball a lot. So if he can see that the space isn't there for him to attack it, he won't do it. He might just do the safe option. But then as we scored 2-3 goals and space starts to open up, that's when he started to go, okay, cool. Then we got the defender. That's why you saw in the last stages of the game, he was able to complete 1-3-1s and complete crosses. You get me? But if the space isn't there, and if they're set up really, really rigid, Callum is not a player that's going to, he doesn't like wasting possession. He's going to look after that ball. So he's just going to recycle it.
I agree. But for me, like, because I enjoy watching like football of like just the under 17s. And I know Callum was one of those guys where, like, if he knows he has the beating of you, he's going to do it. Like, remember that Inter Milan game, what he was doing to them, man?
He was
I know what you're going to say is the Premier League, you know, but I just feel like if he had the confidence, he would be doing it.
Inter Milan game was pre-season. Not everyone's fit.
I agree. I get you.
Yeah. So like, watch them, you're saying about space as well. I think, like, a lot of the time when players get injured, like, no matter what happens, post-injury, people always want to kind of force things on them. So, like, Callum's always been a measured, considered player. He hasn't always been someone that's, I'm just going to breeze you. He's always been, stop, start. But I agree, that game, it was like, yeah, take him on, take Mitchell on. And then when you finally saw it happen, you was like, yeah, why don't you do that more? I just feel like Callum, this is another reason why I feel like he needs to go on loan, because people are going to argue about what he is and what he's gaining.
Yeah.
And I feel like,
you need to actually see it.
When we see it, because I feel like Callum is probably one of the most creative attacking players that England have. I honestly feel like, whereas a lot of people will be judging him, saying, oh, he's not scoring this goal, not scoring that goal, I think he's so mad creative. Do you remember when he came on against Burnley? And then he just chipped the ball to Chilwell. I think it was Chilwell.
Done against Ren as well for Giroud.
Yeah. Timpson, what are you saying?
I think with Timpson, we're touching it.
Yeah, I think it's just a, like, London baller thing. He's a dribbler. He's a cage footballer. And
that's South London.
Not every manager knows how to handle it. Like, Everton is one of the worst places you can go. Look what they've done to a guy like Bolasie, and like Lookman. I feel like Lookman and Callum, in terms of, they just want an environment where or a manager to just say, look, do your thing. Mm. And I know you'll produce. I have that trust and feel love. I don't think he's had that since the academy.
Mm.
I just want him to find that environment,
yeah,
where on a permanent or temporary basis, ideally a temporary basis, so you can show Lampard, look, I'm that guy. I'm not coming back to sit on the bench. We need to come up with a resolution.
Final thoughts, that what you mentioned about the cage footballer, obviously we watched England today and Sancho, I know Sancho doesn't really have pace like that, but again, he's very measured. And when you are more of a cage footballer than like an 11 aside, you're not just breezing into space. Do you know what I mean? Because it's so confined. You're more about finding the right decision to make use of the small spaces that present itself. So yeah, I think, yeah, all in all, he's done well. I feel like he could have done better. So like games like Krasnodar, like, yeah, he scored.
Yeah, agreed. But he wasn't great.
Yeah, a lot of it is, yeah, you've done well, but like you can tell that he's rusty. But then again, he's not starting regularly. So of course he's
good. Exactly. So I can't even put on him.
Right. So
I literally can't.
Right. So next one is 6.71, just above Hudson's. Hudson's at 6.70, and it's Tammy. And who said it's harsh? Babs.
That's harsh. Yeah, that's kind of harsh.
Bro, this is
what should he be then? What should he be?
This is
nine. No, I didn't say nine. I'm just saying that's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Why is it harsh?
I just feel like people forget his age. Like he's only just turned 23.
But look. Babs, just to clarify, the top rating here is 7.5.
Oh yeah, you said 7. Okay, fair enough.
Right.
Fair
enough. So don't think about 10, because these are averages. It's kind of gone down. So
yeah,
the 6 is the good category. So like, Aspi, Caballero, Werner, Havertz, Hudson.
Okay, fair enough. All in the good category. Fair enough.
Tammy's
I reserve.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So 6.71 is one of the best. Like, it means that he's done really well this season, and a lot of people feel like, let's talk about this. If you think about it, when Havertz and Mount were bought, Havertz and Werner were bought, a lot of people saw them as an upgrade to Tammy Mount. But what we're seeing is actually...
They're fine.
They're playing together.
They're actually
playing in the same team. A lot of people thought, okay, cool, that's Mount dusted, that's Tammy dusted. But now we're seeing Mount, Tammy, Havertz and Werner starting together. Tammy as well, I'll just say this, in terms of, we talked about it before, and having that kind of focal point, I feel like when we're talking about Werner, because I think Werner moves around so much, I don't see him getting the tap-ins that Tammy gets. If there's anyone that's going to get into those places where Reece James, you know how Reece James loves those balls.
That is fair. Yeah, yeah.
Tammy gets there, and I feel like Werner is more likely to put in that ball than be there, like, do you know what I'm saying? That's why I feel like we need it. And I think that Tammy's done really well because he hasn't started a lot of games, but I think because the last couple of games he started to score, and he's almost like forcing his way into recognition. But yeah, Shemi, what's your thoughts on Tammy?
I think he was spot on there in terms of the tap-ins. Like we saw against Ren, he got into that position many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like the point about the focal point, I don't feel like he has been the best focal point. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, in terms of, I feel like he can use his body so much better. Mm-hmm. I feel like his ball retention can be so much better. His link-up play has shown signs of improvement, so particularly the Sheffield United game and the Burnley game. But in terms of like sometimes ball retention, I feel like he just gives away his sloppy passes or his touch, he bubbles off of him a little bit. So if he can work on those little parts of his game, then yeah, we're looking at a really, really solid, basically Giroud part two. But in terms of this season, his performances, I think, yeah, he's contributed really, really well. He's come off the bench and made an impact. Mm-hmm. When he started, he scored. Yeah, he's done well. He's done well, I won't lie.
Simpson.
But there's room for improvement.
He's responded really well to the challenge of Timo Werner coming in. Mm-hmm. We talked about this as well, that he wasn't necessarily prepared to play as a target man throughout his days in the academy. And going on loan, he was always playing off the shoulder, running in behind, being a poacher. So he's still very much soaking up the responsibilities and what he needs to do as he finds his feet as a target man. So it's very likely that all of these experiences and all of these kind of learning curves that he's finding this season and last season will kind of pay dividends further along down the line, which is why I'm kind of okay with him playing over Giroud, because I feel like he could have like an explosive, a breakout, a breakout season like a Dominic Calvert-Lewin right now. So overall, I think he's done well. And I think there's more to come as he adjusts to his current role in the team, because he does enable a Werner when we are able to go wide as someone to kind of bounce off plate, and he'll only improve.
Yeah. Babs, you said that we should play around Werner. Doesn't playing Tammy help us do that?
Yeah, I agree. I agree perfectly with that. And it adds another goal scorer too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I feel like with Tammy, what we're seeing is it's not just a development as a footballer, it's a development as a person, if that makes sense. Because if you guys remember last season, like, we saw him, like, he was a bit awkward in, like, his body, he was falling over a bit, and this season he looks a lot more composed. Like, that goal for Pulisic, the assist for Pulisic against Krasnodar last season, I don't think he's going to do that, you know, in terms of, like, keeping the ball there and finding the pass and, like, maintaining actual composure. And I feel like that's just him growing into his body. So you continue to see this in terms of him developing more physically and actually, like, developing into his body. We've got a problem on our hands because, like, that's two number nines that can really, really fire us forward.
Just quickly, though. Go on, Dan.
Let me take over. I was going to say, and we've seen flashes of it. I know it was against Barnsley, but forget about just the physical nature of his game. We've seen the quality that he can be when he's confident and everything's going right in terms of link up with someone like Havertz. Shemi, what are you going to say?
Sorry, bro. Yeah, what I was going to say is, I hear you lots of points about the having two number nines potentially. I still have doubts of how clinical he is. So, like, if we do continue to start him, which is fine in terms of, like, playing Werner off of him and stuff, it works for him. But I just feel like there'll be that one game where he misses a golden chance. And Dan, I know you're a nice guy, yeah? But Meade, I know Meade will pam him so hard. I know Meade is waiting for that, bro.
Meade is a nasty guy. Look, I don't think it's a nice guy because nice guys finish last, but Meade, yeah, whenever you watch a game with Meade, you see him like, so it was the last game because Tammy scored, Kovacic done the assist, that was Sheffield United, right? On the Discord live, like I said again, join Discord, we did a Discord live for the Chelsea game. All I heard was anytime Tammy touched the ball, Meade was like, yuck, get him off. He had nothing. It was like him and Kovacic, he was like, oh, worst players, get him off. And then what happened? Both of them scored. Silence.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's move on to the next one. Zuma is next.
Zuma.
And I think he's been incredible this season. 6.82. I think last season, a lot of people were saying that our defenders, there's not much between them. But I think that he's shown this season, like, he's a level above, I would say. Now, there has been some scary times in terms of these weak passes back. We saw it against Southampton, and I think we saw it in another game, I can't remember. But he's been scoring goals, he's been dominant in the air, he's had a few shaky games, but yeah, I think, like, he's had a great season. And 6.82 from the Discord, that kind of corroborates that. Timpson, what's your thoughts?
I'm really, really happy with him. I feel like I've been championing Zuma since before it was cool. As a pure defender, like, there's not enough. You can't really say much about his aerial prowess and stuff like that. But now he's adding a level of composure and kind of intelligence and just more experience to his game, which is obviously down to Thiago Silva. And he's just growing into his role at Chelsea more and more.
Cool. Shemi, you said that, yeah, you was an early back of... Everyone's an early backer, really. When they come good, everyone's an early backer.
Nah, Shemi. I was loving him 14-15 alongside JT. I've been asking you about in the group chat.
You know what I'm saying? That was a legendary season, man.
I was loving him 14-15. But overall this season, I've been really, really happy with him. I'm hoping that the football world, like, with the football fans, can come away from this narrative that he's just rash, error-prone defender because of what they've seen, you know. I know that game last season against Manchester United, it's just stuck in so many people's heads, and they just can't get away from that narrative. When actually, when you watch him, he's actually really good football. He's really comfortable on the ball. I don't feel on edge when he has the ball, like this season especially. I think he's looked really, 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 really comfortable and really refined. And his defending has been class alongside Silva. So yeah, happy with him.
Okay. All right. Who else hasn't spoken about him?
It was just me. So,
okay,
Zuma, man, like, as a raw defender, as I think, was it Timmy said it earlier? like Hazard's raw defender. Like, I don't think there are many that are like better than him personally, in my honest opinion. Like, I'm not talking about in the Premier League. I mean, in world football, I don't think there are many like raw defenders that are better than him. But the problem was that injury and the fact that he missed a lot of development as an actual footballer, you know. And as a 26-year-old now, he's coming into that period where it's like, it's not his prime, but it's that moment where it's like, this is where you either make the actual impression of you being Chelsea's future number one centre-back, or is that thing where we have to find a new one. And right now, I can't really fault him, you know, as a player. And it's really, really enjoyable to see, because I remember, like, up to, like, as Shemi was saying earlier, that 14-15 season, that game against Man City, he had Aguero in his pocket. And if we're able to see that version of Zuma come out again, I feel like we've got a gem in our hands, and hopefully this is what we're able to see as an actual footballer. And we see a lot more composure, you know, less moments like what we saw against Southampton, and just more moments like what we saw against Ajax, where he dribbled through the players. But yeah, like with Zuma, it's one of the guys, like you just watch him and he's like, you just want to smile, if you get what I mean. Like he's like a proper guy. Like, you know, if he was like with the man, then like, you know, he'll be able to bounce off each other. But
I see him hanging with Pogba all the time. His name is Happy anyway. He always seems to have a smile on his face.
And I feel like that's something that people underestimate on the football pitch.
Go on.
You want to be happy with your teammates, you know. Football is not just like a robotic sport, as what we're seeing now. It's actual embrace, like. What we're seeing now with that Chelsea, it's not just like the players' qualities. Like, you can actually see they're happy together. You know, they trust each other. And seeing Zuma like this is really, really endearing.
I just look. I'm putting propaganda out there. I think Deschamps said something about Zuma in terms of he's picked him in the lineup because he's been better than all of the French. I put it on the Touchline account. I put it on the Chelsea account. I even put it on Poppins account. I've put it everywhere because I feel like rivals are still not giving him his dues. I feel like his estimation has come up amongst Chelsea fans, but I feel like he's been doing great. Like, in the air, I know people talk about Van Dijk, but his hang time is ridiculous. It's crazy.
I don't think I've seen him get beaten there. As crazy as that may sound.
And he's like got that JT thing where like the ball seems to come to him. So Zuma is 6.82. That's a great score. Following that is Kante at 6.85. I'll quickly start on Kante. I think especially since we've gone to 4-3-3 and he's played in the anchor, I'm seeing world class. I'm saying this guy is world class. And I'm not even just talking about in his disruption. Yeah, in the middle, he's disturbing a piece. You can see it. It's almost like with Thiago Silva as well. Players can't get comfortable because he's there gnawing at them and he's just disturbing a piece. But apart from that, when he's on the ball, I feel like there was a game, and I can't remember what the game was, but we played a double pivot. And after that
Phantom,
game,
maybe.
Yeah, and I remember a lot of people saying we should sell Kante because the passing was bad. But I've always just known that with Kante, especially in a double pivot that is more attacking, like, that double pivot gets isolated. It's a difficult role to play. And people say Kovacic's bad, Jorginho's bad, Kante's bad, all of these players are bad. It's just so difficult to play in an attacking double pivot because the other team comes in between. Yeah, you just get surrounded and it's just you two. And so, like, that kind of, I think, exposes Kante because I think a lot of his passes are in proximity. He's quick, that quick passing, he needs to have players around him. And I think since moving to the 4-3-3, the way he moves the ball, I'm talking about outside foot, quick passes. There was a dribble he did. I can't remember what game it was. I think it was Burnley, where he dribbled past.
Yeah, Burnley. Yeah.
And he done a deft chip assist. Well,
that was brilliant. Pass.
And I'm I keep on seeing world class. I keep on seeing it. I'm thinking world class, world class, world class. He's at 6.85. I think he's had a great season, especially since he's moved into anchor. Shemi, talk to me about Kante.
Yeah, so personally, I think this is a bit high, just simply because, in my opinion, when we were playing 4-2-3-1, not completely his fault. I just don't feel like he was performing great, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. However, since we've moved to the 4-3-3, since the Burnley game, he's been nothing sort of sensational. Sheffield United, oh my God, I was in awe of him. He was just dictating the game. He was showing that he can do a bit of that register stuff against Sheffield United, the way he was spraying balls left, right, and against Burnley as well. So, very, very happy with Kante since we switched to the 4-3-3. Long may it continue. It seems to have prolonged his career a little bit as well, because a lot of people were thinking that if he has to play in that middle two and has to do bare, he starts to do all that running and all that intense stuff. Yeah, his legs, like his fitness, you know. So especially last season, we had so many injuries, putting him in that anchor where he doesn't have to do as much as the, covering the ground as others. It's going to give him some more years and hopefully at a high level. So yeah.
All right, before I go into the next person, I can quickly tell you why he's got a high rating. So Brighton, he was fourth best player, according to Discord rankings. Again, Liverpool, he was fourth best. No, sorry, Liverpool, he was second rated. So he started off the season well, but then
the bar for those two games were low, though. But yeah, go on.
Yeah. So the bar was low. Yeah, 100%. And then where does he come up next?
West Brom.
Yeah, it was good against West Brom. Because he played single pivot again, second off.
So the next one, I think, the next higher one was Krasnodar, to be fair. Yeah, so yeah. But then we've just, I think, towards the last couple of games, everyone's been good. So it's like, if you're not in the top four players, doesn't mean you have been bad. But yeah. I think maybe because at the beginning of the season, when we wasn't doing well, he was doing good. So when maybe that's the reason why. When the bar was low, he was one of our better players. And now he's back in the anchor. He's shining again. Timpson, what's your thoughts?
Maybe, obviously, a lot of people are also looking at it in comparison to his performances last season as well. Obviously, he had injuries, and now that he's kind of settled in that role in front of the back four, he's kind of tempered his game to not run around. He's added more discipline to while sitting in that position, and now he's got Mason close to him, and at times Kai or Kovacic that he can kind of shift that ball to quite quickly and quite comfortably. So he's when he does that, he's settled into a rhythm, and he can just kind of flow as we dominate possession.
Babs, you take it away, and then after, okay, Babs, take it away, and then I'll ask the question after. Go on.
Man, N'Golo Kanté, my life. He's one of those players that he just leaves you speechless, because some of the words we use to describe and no fault of being, because they do describe him well, like, you know, workhorse, you know, like he's his best tackler, but what we need to use is intelligence. When we look at N'Golo Kanté, I'm going to list you off a couple of names: under Ranieri, Conte. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Lampard, Deschamps. He has been top three, if not top two players under each and every manager, in a different role, in a different position, in a different system. And he has done it to the utmost of qualities in terms of play. And this is something we do not see very often, you know, in terms of a player being able to just mold into a position, mold into a system, and actually allow the team to tick over. And when we look at N'Golo Kanté, we just have to be so thankful, because I was seeing man say, you know, sell Kanté, buy Basmati. Yeah. Buy Basmati rice for Kanté.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing fans say, oh, you know, Kanté in this solo DM, you know, he's doing all right. And it's like, you can see, you know, with January coming around, people are starting to really think about what they were saying. And yeah, like, you just have to think to yourself, like, we have not seen a player, in my opinion, in the middle of the park for Chelsea Football Club who has played to this level. Not just in terms of match performance, but just intelligence of the game.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, I still think he's like the one of the players that I look at now thinking, I know we've had Ziyech come in, I know we've had Havertz come in. To be fair, Havertz, I think, like, when I watch him, I think world class. But I think if there's any other player that, when I watch, I say world class, it's Kanté.
1,000%.
Who else? Was there anyone? So Jermaine has been, maybe I'm outing him, but Jermaine's one of those people who said, maybe it's time to sell Kanté. Is there anybody on the cast right now that considered selling Kanté?
Yeah, I did. Before we switched to the anchor. So before we switched to the 4-3-3.
All right, we'll talk us through your logic.
So from last season and into this season, I just felt like, so with his injuries last season, I just felt like the way Kanté plays, so his intensity, the way he covers so much ground, I just feel like you can only sustain that for so many years. And I felt that what we were seeing last season with how many injuries he was picking up, because it was really abnormal, I felt like that was catching up to him. And I felt like those years that he could sustain that level of intensity at were behind him. So I thought, yeah, we're not going to get too much out of his fitness and that. And also, just quickly, another one before we move on. I also thought... I just thought it would be the right time to catch him in. I've lost my train of thought for myself.
Okay, cool.
But that was my logic.
And so what do you think now?
So now I feel like, as I said, moving him into that deeper role, he seems to have put his injuries behind him. So I feel like we can still get a lot more out of him. And because he doesn't have to play as intense as he did under Ranieri, under Conte, he doesn't have to be that person that runs the most out of everyone on the pitch. I feel like we've prolonged his fitness and prolonged his years at the top a little bit more.
All right, cool. Timson.
Yeah, very similar to Semi in the sense that I was open to having that conversation because at one point his legs would go, but now that he adapted to that Makélélé role, he can prolong his longevity at the top. But also, I was also open to, if we're of the opinion that he can't do that holding lone anchor man role, why don't we just sell him and bring someone else in who can do the job,
like Basmati.
Not Basmati. Like, for me, I would rather look at, you know, I'm the youth aficionado, so I'd rather look at an Ampadu or Trevor Chalobah even before I even look at a Rice.
Yeah.
But now he offers that interesting conversation with Kante's 29. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just ride the wave with Kante? Because obviously Makélélé came to the club at 31, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it just works out in our favour. We get the most out of Kante. Mm-hmm. And obviously Rice's contract is running down. If Rice is the guy that Lampard wants, then his contract runs down, our bargaining position becomes stronger and stronger when it comes time to go get him anyway.
100%. And Rice only wants Chelsea, so there's no danger. So cool. So let's move on now, because obviously it's getting deep in the day. So now we're in the seven category. So these players have been great. So these have been the best players this season, according to Discord, and obviously it's relative to the games they've played. So we're starting off with Chilwell at 7.13. And obviously he was contentious because a lot of the fan base didn't want him. Admittedly, he went through tough times last season. All I've seen from him is, to be fair, even last season, when I did watch him for myself because I heard a lot of shit, all I saw was good. However, I saw Leicester fans chatting shit as well. So I was inclined to believe that, you know, he was struggling. But from what I've seen, in terms of his feet, he's got a great feet. He protects the ball, especially when he's on the ball. The only thing is he does kind of lose it sometimes. His switches don't always work. But again, he's a goal-scoring threat. His crosses are amazing. Talk to me about Chilwell. Shemi.
Yeah, I think he's been superb. Like you said, his crossing has been really, really good. He's just given us another dynamic down that left-hand side. And I said this in the Patreon episode that he's a very good footballer. Like, the way he dribbles, the way he carries the ball, he's a very good footballer. Not only is he a good left-hand, he's a very good footballer. And that's key, especially in those positions. But he's been fantastic.
It's weird because he doesn't feel like an English player. The way that he's like, the way he's good on the ball, it's like, have you got something else in you? Like, bad. What you say?
Man, I don't know if you remember, but in the Discord chat, I sent a couple of graphics in, comparing him to a couple of other left backs. And from that moment, I saw the stats, I was like, I know we've got a real problem here in terms of a left back. I knew from then that, like, this guy, what he's about to do this season. Boy, we have not seen this since Ashley Cole in 2010.
Yeah.
You know, I was so excited because initially everyone's worry was the price. You know, was it 75 million? Was it 60? I mean, it came down to about 45 million.
Mm.
I felt like for a player of his age, you know, 23, playing for a top five club in the league already, already Premier League proven and coming into a camp where he knows the players really well. I thought that was a bargain. And
how much?
Just gone to prove.
How much?
45.
Okay.
I think 45.
Yeah, like late 40s, early 50s.
Maybe being a bit too easy, but yeah, I feel like what we've done in that kind of signing it's been amazing because, not just because of what he's done, but he's literally made Alonso and Emerson redundant. And when I say that, I mean, a lot of last season, people were making that excuse for, you know, Alonso can still do a job at left wing back. And United, what did Chilwell go and do? He smashed up at left wing back. And, you know, just doing that, just seeing that you can play those two positions, I feel like it's literally made it a thing where, like, you know what, guys, Alonso, Emerson, both of you have got to go.
So let me ask you this question as well. We'll come to you, Timpson, but I want your feedback, Shemi and Babs, as well. So what about if he costs 65 million? Do you still think he'll be a good signing?
Yes.
I still think he'll be a good signing, but I'd put him under a bit more scrutiny.
Okay, but do you think he'll survive?
Pardon?
So far, do you think he would have survived that scrutiny of 100%, being
100%, 100%, okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, 50 million, that's about the going rate for top fullbacks. I think Pep set the market standard for that with Kyle Walker and Mendy. And I think for what he's given us, that extra 50 million would have been fine. Honestly, the guy's playing like we found him in a favela. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
he's got an Essex sauce about him, you know, the slick back hair.
You know what I mean? Like, He's given us that defensive stability, that the width is always there on the left. And yeah, the thing that I love about it is a lot of people who were still kind of saying Alonso has a role to play, he can still chip in with goals. Chilly B has that threat, not to mention the way he's just slotted in effortlessly in the changing room. And it's just such good vibes.
Yeah. He looks like he's been playing for Chelsea for like two years now.
Honestly.
That's a superb signing. For, like,
shout out Ashley Cole.
Yeah, shout out Ashley Cole, because that had a lot of criticism throughout the season. Mm. And obviously, Chelsea, we were part of it. I'm not going to lie, we were part of it, because I know that obviously Mead's done his deep dive, and I think we had graphics as well comparing Tagliafico and all of these other left backs.
Bombs.
But to be fair, like, obviously defending the platform and being objective at the same time. Can we defend the platform? I don't know. Let's move on to the next one. Silva. Silva's next at 7.18. Thiago Silva, I mean, a lot has been said about him. We don't even have to go through too much. He's come in. He's been a leader. And he made that initial mistake. I think since then he hasn't put a foot wrong. He did complain after the Burn. I think it was after Burnley. He was like, "Rah, I've headed the ball so much here." Yeah,
I was going down. I didn't even see that.
he was like, "I'm getting headaches because I'm heading it so much in the Premier
League." That is jokes.
Yeah, but I see him. I can't remember. I think there was a passage of play where Chilwell done something in terms. He put Thiago Silva under like unnecessary pressure, and like the way that his face. The face that he gave Chilwell was like, fix up. And I was
so
like,
you need both. That's what
like,
you need.
I was like, this is level. This is level. He's not.
And he'd done it against Ren as well.
Yeah. He's not here to play. I always like that.
Is that big brother figure?
Yeah, but he's almost like, he's just put like an assassin, a trained assassin, or like, like a hired gun. He's not here to be your friend. You talk about Zuma's always happy. He's not here. He's here to get the job done. Do you know what I mean? That's what I like about him.
Like you said when he first came, he didn't come here for a retirement gig. He came here to win.
Literally.
So
literally.
Yeah, Thiago Silva 7.33. Look, 7.18. We don't have to say much about him. Let's move on to the next because we need to wrap up soon. Next is Ziyech is at 7.33. Obviously, he's recently come into the team. Timpson, talk to me about Ziyech.
Like, how many superlatives can you give out to one guy in just like 4 or 5 games? I mean, he's just absolutely superb, and he just feels like the missing piece to Frank's puzzle in terms of the offensive end. So I don't want to say too much else. He's just knitted everything together perfectly, and he just gives us such a different dynamic with Reece on that right-hand side.
Do you know what? Since we're in a great category, just to make it a bit more interesting, let's think about cons as well. So, like, with Ziyech, not necessarily a con. Well, in fact, one of the cons is that, we talked about earlier, he's a creative player. He is going to lose the ball. Do you think that's an issue? And also, do you feel like the fact that he leaves the right so often and the fact that Reece James gets forward to cross it in, do you feel like that potentially that we could be a liability on that side? Shemi?
Yeah, I wouldn't say lose the ball. I think give the ball away is a better description, because actually his ball retention is actually quite good. But 100%, because even before he assists against Sheffield United, he tried that ball 3 times and it flopped. So I feel like, it can be a liability, but I'm happy that it's out wide as opposed to in the middle. So I'll give the example of like Bruno, who does it a lot in the middle and it's detrimental to Man United. I feel like whilst it's out wide, we can get away with it for the most part. That's not to say there won't be a game where we won't. But yeah.
Timpson, I came to you already on stage. Babs.
Just add in that like when he does vacate that right wing, he just frees up space for Reece. He causes overloads in the middle of the park that I know Barcelona under Pep used to do and used to frustrate teams. And then whilst they're outnumbered, Mason, obviously he's been told, stop effing about and get the ball to Reece and Ziyech quicker. If Reece is free on that right-hand side, then it's just a problem.
Agreed, but that's from the positive end of it. But when we lose the ball in that situation, so Reece is high because Ziyech is vacated, Ziyech is not there. The ball, we lose the ball. Their left winger is free in space. Is that not an issue?
It's a problem, but this is where I expect my DM to kind of anticipate us losing the ball. And I think Kante's got the I think he's got the experience to position himself closer to that right hand side to maybe even potentially slow up a player.
Okay, all right. Babs, so KDB set the assist record, I think, at 20. We might have matched Thierry Henry's at 20. Ziyech is known as the assist maker. He's come in, he's already getting assists. Like the final ball, like for instance, I think it was the Burnley game where he gave it on the
quality.
Yeah, he gave it to Werner and Werner did his job. Do you feel like he can rival KDB in being the top kind of playmaker in the Premier League?
That you dropped me in it there, but I mean, hey, I mean,
save a chest curve.
Not even just before I get onto that, I feel like one thing that Ziyech has added is another dimension to our attack in the fact that we now have both the outswinger and the inswinger now from the right-hand side.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that is very, very important in terms of creating angles, both for the back post and the near post, because Reece's crosses are always finding the player or escaping player at the near post, you know?
Yeah.
We saw it a lot last season. We saw a goal come out from it with Tammy Abraham this season. And having Ziyech, right, with the inswinger in now, we've scored now? 3 goals at the back post?
Yeah, Chilwell's getting them.
Yeah, Chilwell's getting them. Literally one of them literally just came off Thiago Silva and that was it. Yeah. He didn't even have to do anything. Like having him a player of his quality, you know, his Champions League pedigree, just a top player and a top professional. I feel like it's just something that.
So you think he's better than KDB?
What was the price? 30 million?
33 million.
30 million, man. Like, damn, man, it was a bargain, man. It was a bargain, man.
So you think he's better than KDB?
Nice try.
That's not a second.
But yeah,
going
on. That's two assists. Well, hey, what can I say? 19 assists to go.
Cool. I think you can rival KDB for the assist beat personally.
Okay, cool. All right, so we'll move on to the next one. So Ziyech was 7.33. Just pipping Ziyech to 7.33 is Reece James at 7.34. I feel like since he's gone blonde. I don't know if he's a Dragon Ball Z fan, but I feel like he's gone Super Saiyan. I feel like last season you can accuse him of being lax defensively. This season, he's clamping everything. It's weird for me with Reece James as well because his dribbling technique, it feels like his feet are moving slow, but no one can.
So weird.
Like the ball's kind
Yeah.
And so so I talked about Kante oozing quality. I talked about Havertz oozing quality. Reece James, I feel like, oozes quality. And I feel like Aspi hasn't been bad this season, but Reece James has been so good that he's pammed the captain into the freezer. Mate. And I feel like headering as well. All of a sudden, he's winning all of the headers. All of a sudden, I'm looking at our back line. Chilwell's winning headers. Reece James is winning headers. Thiago's winning headers. Zuma's winning headers. And we've got people that are just reliable. Talk to me about Super Saiyan James. Shemi.
Yeah, I think he's been class, man. As you said, with James, it was never a thing of him as a player. It was just his defensive lapses and his tendencies to switch off as he was doing post-lockdown last season. But I always knew as soon as he fixes that part of his game, we've got a quality all-round right back, and he's done that. So yeah, I'm so happy with him. I think the way he's overlapped Ziyech this season, the way he's just always been an option there, it's been great to see. And yeah, long may it continue. And his deliveries into the 6-yard box as well have been really, really good. One thing I will say though is that I feel like it does take him one or two deliveries to get a spot on. Like against Rennes, I think in the first half he had a couple that were a bit off. Then there was like that third one for Tammy, which was good.
Yeah.
And then from there on, but then yeah, apart from that,
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's been so on.
I agree. And I said when we're talking about the good players, we should think about Cons as well. And I do feel like kind of over egg the fact that all of these deliveries are on point. They're not. But he does volume. And I feel like Trent does volume. KDB does volume. It's not about every single one being accurate. I feel like he just does volume. And let's not forget, he slapped a goal in Brighton. He like, yeah. We're talking about defensive, we're talking about going forward, but yeah, he's got that shot too. Timpson, what are you saying? On obviously youth aficionado, give me the lowdown on Reece James.
Yeah, Reece James, aka Reece Flames, is
the nicknames.
He is on one this season, and I feel like he's learned from his first season in the Premier League. He's trimmed down a lot as well. A lot of people noticed that in the Brighton game, and he's just gone up another level, which is as expected after learning from having that first season. I agree with both of what you said about his delivery, and it takes him a while, but it's not the worst thing in the world. Everybody's going to. Liverpool fans in particular might use the fact that his delivery, he won't get the assist numbers that Trent does. But a lot of people don't realise that Trent does spam a lot of crosses, and he massively exceeded his XG in comparison to what Reece did last season. So Reece is solid on the defensive end, and he's got a good combination with Ziyech. I just feel like there will still be occasions in the future where he'll be caught defensively. But I think now they'll be few and far between in comparison to last season.
Babs, final word on James. And if you've got a nickname for him, we've got Super Saiyan James, we've got Reece Flames. What have you got?
I don't know. I just have to get into it, my guy Reece James, man. I feel like Reece, he saw the slander in his name last season, you know. Mm-hmm. They were saying he was Wan-Bissaka going forward, Trent defensively. Mm-hmm. And now look at him. Reece James, man. Like, you know, we're seeing hella pretenders to the throne. We're hearing names like Trent. We're hearing names like Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And you can just see that this guy has seen the slander. They were calling him Trent going back in defence and Aaron Wan-Bissaka going back forward. And now... He's just shutting up the haters, you know.
Yeah.
What we're seeing right now as a right back in the modern game, mm-hmm. in terms of going forward, he's not just doing that, he's actually defending, he's doing the bread and butter of what his role is. And having that as a 20-year-old in the modern day, you've got a right back there for the next 10, 12 years.
I feel like he saw the Lamptey praise as well.
He saw it in the Brighton game. That's why he slapped it in.
And I feel like that's when he went Super Saiyan. All right, cool.
Exactly.
There's two players left. We've gone through almost every single player that's played this season. There's two players left. You probably guess one, but before we get to him, at 7.41, there's Ross the Boss Barkley.
My guy. And
Ross the Boss Barkley. Obviously, he played the Barnsley game, but also he came up on in that Brighton game. And I think Havertz was playing bad. I think Loftus-Cheek was playing bad. Mount was playing bad. Everyone was playing bad. But then Barkley came on and he started starting. So, obviously, he's gone on loan. But the fact that he had those two appearances has put him very high. What's your thoughts on the fact that he's gone on loan because he's needed a chance to play, and now we're playing 4-3-3. We probably could have used him.
I feel like a lot of people are going to use that whole, you know, he's playing at his level thing, you know, mm-hmm. he needs to be a, you know, big fish in a small pond. But mm-hmm. I've always said a good footballer is a good footballer. And yeah. what we're seeing now is just a testament to that. Mm-hmm. It's obviously going to have a couple like down games, you know, but That's just as a result of him not playing football for the last year. And mm-hmm. what we're seeing now is just a testament to him as an actual quality football player. And yeah, it's a shame to see, but it's one of those things where, like, as another example at the club, you know, Callum, you know, mm-hmm. never know if he goes in there, we may just see this again. And we're going to be seeing fans like, oh, you know, why didn't we keep him? You know, maybe he wasn't good enough for Chelsea. Maybe he is. And it's just a testament to.
I feel like unless you cost a lot of money, Chelsea fans are very, very harsh on, especially like, so like obviously Barkley was one of our only creative players, and I feel like people see it with Havertz now. I feel like if Barkley was Havertz and he lost the ball like in the centre areas, they wouldn't be as understanding. But now you see the understanding and like, oh yeah, he's a great.
You got to make excuses for the big money signings.
Right. And I feel like we've seen it before in terms of Salah, like he hasn't really been, he's been like had a rough edge to him. And I feel like unless you're a big money signing, people aren't really that forgiving. And I feel like now, especially with Barkley at Chelsea, people say he's been inconsistent, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of the times it's like, even when he starts, he's playing 60 minutes because you know he's going to be the first to get subbed. So he doesn't really, even he starts, he doesn't really have enough time to make impact. But despite that, when he did start last season, I think he had a good season. Timpson, you want to come in on Barkley?
Shout out to our quarter Nigerian brother, Roster Boss. Yeah, I feel like two things, confidence and love. Mm-hmm. Confidence in the sense that I'm confident that I won't face backlash when I express myself, and love as in I'm in a situation where people want me to do well, people want me to exceed, as opposed to I'm under the cosh here at Chelsea. Like in his first season under Sarri, he was just like, yo, there's so much pressure here, I'm just going to do what the manager tells me. And then obviously he's not a homegrown talent, so he might, as much as he loved being in London, he might have felt like he might not have felt the love that a Ruben Loftus-Cheek might have felt, a Mason Mount. So I'm happy for him to do. I'm really happy for him doing this thing. But in terms of him obviously not being here, some people will be skeptical and ask the question why he was gone. But for me, as good as he's performing at Aston Villa, I feel like his minutes now will be better received and better used, giving them to a Billy Gilmore or at times a Tino Andrin when we do need to rotate in the squad.
Agreed. I feel like he's too good a player for that, and he's in his prime as well. And I feel like there were times last season when he does well, like against Everton. I remember he done well against Everton. I would say he's even one of our best players, but everyone was saying, oh yeah, it's Gilmore, it's Mount. Like, no matter what Barkley does, he doesn't seem to get the praise for it. And it's very quickly just kind of hidden and just said, yeah, whatever. And it's a bit weird. I agree with Timpson in terms of, look, to be fair, the Chelsea fans haven't really accepted him. I'm fine with him moving on. Shemi.
Could I pose you guys a question real quick?
Yeah.
Let's say, you know, with our current midfield composition, let's say the season was to end right now, you know, and Ross came back, Ruben came back, you've got to sell one. Which one has to go?
I'd sell Ross.
And I'd sell Ross as well.
Yeah,
in this current form,
his value.
Yeah, you got to think about it this way. Like Ross, as Timpson touched on, he's never going to be loved by Chelsea. Like he's never going to be accepted by Chelsea fans. That's it. He's got too much ability.
Yeah,
he's got too much ability to be getting, what, like 15 minutes, whatever, not getting a consistent run. And he's the type of player where he needs that run. He needs that confidence. He's just not going to get at Chelsea. It's as simple as that.
That's why I posed the question in that way. I didn't say as Lampard. I mean, like, what would you guys do?
Oh, for real?
What would you guys want?
I've always been a Barkley fan. Barkley would start for me. He'd have that confidence that Rank has in Mount. Do you know what I mean? But With Barkley, like I said, I don't even think, like, a lot of people say, oh, he needs consistency, he needs love. Like, we've seen him go to England and play the full game.
Best midfielder,
and just shine. I feel like he just needs starts, because what will happen with Barkley is he'll start, but he'll get 60 minutes and gets dragged off. Or he'll have one game and then you won't see him for another four games and then everyone will think he's done shit. Do you know what I mean?
So Dan, you know, beginning of Sarri season where he had that run of starts from like August to that. Beginning of October, would you say he was justifying those 60 minutes before he came off for Kovacic?
No, but
because it's debatable.
The thing is, again, with the Sarri thing, like, he'd get subbed off. We all know, like, it was Barkley for Kovacic. It's not like either of them had full games to really show what they could do. Like, both of them shared that position. So when people said, oh yeah, Kovacic is our player of the season this year, whereas under Sarri, he wasn't that good. Yeah, he shared a position. And I don't think either of them... And apart from that, obviously, we know that Sarri was like macro-managing, telling them, okay, keep it safe. So we didn't see as much as Kovacic's dribbling. We didn't see as much as Barkley's creativity. So like, the fact that a lot of people are forgiving of Kovacic and saying, it was Sarri that kind of diminished him. But then at the same time, they're saying, oh, Barkley didn't do anything. Like, it can't be one rule for one and one rule for another.
I've always said he was hampered at Chelsea. He had too many instructions under Sarri. Lampard didn't give him a consistent run of games.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just don't feel like he was given that freedom to really, really flourish.
Timpson, final word on Barkley, and then we'll move to the last player.
Yeah, as I said, no love under Lampard, no confidence under Sarri. But I had a question for you, Dan. So obviously, have you seen Ross? You mentioned England, but have you seen Ross Barkley ball out for England the way he's balled out for Villa and some of his best games for Everton? Because I feel like he's had good games, but he's never shown that flair and just and that freedom in an England shirt like he has done at Villa at the moment.
I don't know. I feel like all you have to do is check Twitter. Like, it's still there. The receipts are still there. When he was playing under Southgate for England, people would keep saying, "Rah, what's this England Barkley?" And it's the English Zidane and Barkley-dinho. Like, forget about... Maybe he's even more confident now, but he'd consistently be one of the best players on the pitch. And a lot of people would ask, why are you selecting him since he's not playing? It's weird that when he wasn't playing at Chelsea, he was being selected for England. Now he's playing at Aston Villa. He's not in the team. But I just feel like, regardless of... if you might say that he's got even more confidence now, but no one can kind of question how good he's been, not just in that situation, but whenever he's been played in, like, cup games, because cup games, again, he's been trusted, or pre-season, he's been trusted. Wherever he's been trusted, I would say he's delivered. But again, just to kind of wrap up on Barkley, Chelsea fans aren't having him. It's the same with Salah. You ask a lot of Chelsea fans now, they're like, nah, he just wasn't good at Chelsea. I feel like Chelsea fans can get like that, where they're just done with a player. But yeah, so we'll end on that. So Barkley is currently our second best player this season, but obviously with the caveat that he played like a game and 10 minutes. The final player, so the worst player of the season was Kepa, according to Discord. So like, obviously, it's probably pretty easy to guess who comes in number one. Our new goalkeeper, Mendy, is at 7.59. He seemed like a sick pass of the ball. I know a lot of people thought that the reason why Kepa was a good goalkeeper was because he was a good passer. I don't think he's that good a passer, and I think Mendy's been better. He's been commanding. He talks. Apparently, he's both-footed. Talk to me about Mendy. Babs. Shemi.
Yeah, Mendy's been he's been really good. Obviously the bar's low from Kepa, but generally Mendy has brought a sense of calmness amongst the back four, which translated into our defensive performances. He commands his area really well. He's got good reflexes, and like you said, Dan, he's a talker. He's not just there to just make up the numbers. He will instruct players to go long instead of go short, and yeah, he commands his area really well. That's the most important thing for me. You've got to command the box, because I think, I can't remember who was saying it on the other podcast, but teams were literally saying, nah, swing in the set pieces, because Kepa is not gonna come and get the ball. And that's why we were looking so crap at them. So now this season, teams are clocking that, yeah, it's not really that thing, because we've got a goalkeeper that's going to come and claim it. It just takes so much pressure off of our defence. So yeah, man, I'm just happy. I'm more happy with the way he commands aspect, as opposed to just making saves. Because I feel like any as long as you've got a competent keeper, saves will come in it. But can you command your area? Can you allow your defence to be calm? Can your defence trust you? That's my thing. And yeah, I think he brings all of that.
But like, top of the conversation, I referenced the fact that we didn't really concede that many shots on goal, but I've seen it like firsthand. We still don't concede that many shots on goal. However, Mendy's come up trumps in the times we need him.
We need him. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Timpson on Mendy.
Yes. Edu. Piggybacking off what Shemi said, you can be solid, but there's a way of being solid that exudes a calmness that puts your defence and midfield and your teammates at ease. The way he collects the ball, his lengthy frame, the way he looks relatively unbothered when he makes somewhat quite difficult and spectacular saves, aka like a Rashford or, both Rashford saves actually in the first half and at the end. He's just brought a level of confidence to the defence and the team that I just feel like I couldn't believe. Like, he's, and for what we've paid for him so far, I think he's actually a bargain.
100%. If you think about our worst rated like this season, I'm sure even last season's Kepa, the fact that Mendy's come in at that little price, and he's been our best rated player. Maybe that reflects on Kepa being bad, but I don't know. Babs, what's your thoughts on Mendy?
Man, Mendy. I don't think I've been this happy with a signing in a while. I have to be very honest with you. And it's not just because of the player, it's the person, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we heard the stories, like, a couple of years ago, he was in the park training, you know? We saw, like, a lot of rivals fans, you know, posting these videos of him having, like, howlers in France. And, like, you just look at the guy, like, even after the Rennes game, you can just see how happy they were. Just see, like, you know, our guy's made it. You know, he's at the big time now. And him, not even just him, like, doing it, but him actually making these big saves, it's just so, I don't know, like, he's just one of those players that just make you happy, you know. We heard him speak about the importance of, like, a black goalkeeper, you know. Like, yeah. he's putting on for, like, his people. And when you just watch him play, like, I've never actually been this confident in a keeper since, like, what, Courtois? And, like, even though that was only 2 seasons ago, like, that's been a very long 2 seasons with Kepa in goal. You know, and yeah, Mendy, man. Like, what? There's just nothing more I can say. What a signing.
Nothing more you can say. Currently, the Discord's highest rated player at 7.59. You can take part in the... I'm talking to the listener. You can take part in the Discord ratings too. Definitely join up to the Discord. It's super easy. Also, we're wrapping up. Use the Touchdown Fracker hashtag. If you've got anything to say to us, you can tweet us. Or come in Discord and talk to us as well. Babs, not first appearance, but first appearance in a while. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you, Dan. It's always good coming back.
Timmy, Shemi, until next time. This has been Touchline Fracker, Chessy Hour. I'm tired. I'm out. Let's go. All right, cool. All right, thanks, lads, man. I've got to stay up and edit it as well because that last bit fucked up. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good pod, but I think it was like 2 hours.
Yeah, it was long. I was watching the time. It was 2 hours. Yeah. 2 hours. Yeah.
It's minor. It was a good one.
It's minor. We're in lockdown. It's fine.
Yeah. All right. Nice one.
Cool.
Wow. All right. That's it. Take care.
Bleak as this. Drop back! Madness. Never ended up in McDonald's. And I haven't had a trophy in a long time. Not the fault that I played for McDonald's. He done it! The greatest night in the history of Chelsea Football Club. European champions. They've beaten Bayern in their own backyard. They found the Holy Grail after a venture fraught with danger. And drop back. Chelsea again. He will never be forgotten. He's in.
Just came back. Hazard. Trying to find a way through. Oh, that is magnificent. Magical from Eden Hazard.
We may just.
Brilliant run by Hazard. Oh, that is absolutely phenomenal.
That's more like Kante. We do threads on Twitter and ranting. Doing the most. True say that money is power. So when you get money, keep fighting ghosts. Ghost. I remember when I shot my shot, but I didn't have guap, so I hit the post. But next time it's a golden goal. And it-
Sports Social Podcast Network.